The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Tetzaveh. Torah tells us, right near the beginning of the parasha, it's Perek Chof Ches Posuk Aleph. V'ato hakrevi lechos Aaron echichos vezbonam itoy. Mitek b'nei Yisrael lechan eli. And you shall bring close Aaron his brother, your brother and his children, from the sons of Israel, to serve me. V'asisa v'igde kodish l'aron ochicho lechoveid ul siforis. And you shall make garments of sanctity for Aaron your brother, which shall be for an honor and for beauty. And then the Torah goes through great detail and length to describe these garments and how they should be made. For example, there should be a breastplate, an ephod, a gown, a me'il, another gown that was worn, say this tashbeitz, an undergown, a snefes, a turban, an avnet, a belt. And the materials that were used were zov, gold, and the gold was made into golden thread. Tcheles was a blue wool, a wool which was dyed blue. It was the color of the sky, of the sea and the sky, and it was made, the dye was made from a type of fish or some sea life that lived deep in the sea and would come up once every 70 years. Argomon, this is a wool which was dyed purple. Talashoni, this was a wool which was scarlet, dyed either with a seed or a type of worm. Sheish Moshazor, white linen. The breastplate was magnificent, Torah tells us. In the breastplate was 12 precious stones, umilesavai meluas oven, arbaturim oven. There were 4 rows, 3 precious stones in each row, each one different. There was the ruby, and there was the sapphire, and there was the diamond, and so forth. So from here we see how the Torah was very insistent that these garments should be garments of beauty, lekoved ultiforis, that they should be garments which would be very, very honorable, and garments of beauty, and they should be made in exact perfection and with colors, lavish and beautiful bright colors, something that would be very, very honorable for Aaron Uvona, for Aaron and his sons who were the Kahanim. Similarly, we also find this by the entire Mishkan, the sanctuary, last week's parsha. Again, the Torah commanded that we should build a sanctuary, and the sanctuary should have various vessels, various kelim, pieces of furniture, and they should be made out of these materials, and they should be made out of gold, pure gold, and silver, and copper, and atzei shittim, which was a very, very fine cedar wood. And there was odis elim ha'odomim. These were skins which were made from rams, and they were dyed red. And there was odis tachoshim. These were skins from the tachash. The tachash was an animal that had many, many bright colors. And again we see that great detail and exactness and beauty went into the making of the Mishkan. Now naturally in all of this there are great sodas, great secrets that we could study for 1,000 years and hardly scratch the surface as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everything in such detail and such perfection and what everything means. But nevertheless we see that this was something that the Almighty wanted should be physically perfect and physically beautiful and physically honorable. Another example of this in last week's parsha, Pasuk Chof Vov, Yud Gimel, that after the frame of the Mishkan was made, we were commanded to take an Yuriyash, to make Yuriyash. This was like a covering which was made from these wools, the blue wool and the purple wool and also the linen. And this covered the whole frame of the Mishkan. Then we were commanded to make another covering, and this was made out of skins. See, this was made from the skins of the rams. And it states The second covering, actually this was made from the wool, the goat's hair. The second covering was a little larger than the first covering, and it overlapped. And Rashi brings that it would overlap and cover a little more than the first covering did. And on that Rashi tells us, Lim de Tera derech eretz. Here the Torah is telling us, derech eretz, Shia odom chas ala yofer. That a person should take care when it comes to beauty. And what seems to be meant by that is that the first covering should be protected, because the first covering was made of much more fragile materials, and therefore the second covering, which was made of a harder material and that could take the weather more, that was a little larger to totally cover it. And to teach us odim chas ala yofer, that a person should take care when it comes to beauty. Then the Medrash tells us further. The Medrash says that the truth of the matter is lohoya ilam kedai lizov. Gold was really too beautiful for this world, and of course Baruch Hu wanted to save it for the next world. But leinivrela bishvil hamishkan v'kelov. But because it was needed for the sanctuary, and this was the sanctuary which was in the desert, but eventually would be the Beis HaMikdash, the temple on Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. So therefore, he brought gold into the world. The same thing the Medrash says with Atzei Shittim, that this type of cedar wood that was used was really too good for this world. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it for the Mishkan, so therefore he created it. And same thing on the Tachash. More asked, what was this Tachash? Oris Techoshim Odom. Oris Techoshim. The Tachash was Leinivra El Lesho. It was an animal which was created, but specifically for the Mishkan. And after the Mishkan was built, then this animal disappeared. It became extinct. And what was so unique about this animal? He had a coat of many, many different colors. Very, very beautiful animal. And because the Almighty wanted these colors in the Mishkan, therefore the Tachash was created. And the Tachash was called Sasgavna. That's the Targum. Sasgavna means Sos Bigavonin Shaloi. He was an animal that was very happy. He was happy because he had so many colors. Now we can ask, it seems here that we're placing a great emphasis on physical beauty, on brightness of colors, physical perfection, and honor. Generally, one would think that we are the children of Yaakov Avinu. Jacob, he was the man of the soul. He was the man of the Olam HaElyon, in the upper worlds. This world belonged to Esav, physical world. So Esav would be the one who would place emphasis on beauty in this world, or what we would refer to as materialism. Or also there were the Yevonim, the Greek Empire. The Greek Empire, they were known for their pursuit of physical beauty, or beauty of anything that was physical, anything that belonged to the physical world. It was art or music, or beauty in people, or in buildings, engineering, architecture, beauty of the physical wisdoms. So these are attributes that should belong to Esav or to Yovan, but not to Klal Yisrael. Yisrael were men of the spirit. Especially when we're speaking about the Mishkan, the sanctuary, or the garments of the Kohen Gadol, that in general that was a place which was very uplifted, and it was a place which was supposed to be divorced from this world, as Mikdosh HaTiro'u, that when we came into the sanctuary we had to have Yira Yisera, a special degree of fear and awe. So this is something which blatantly strikes us. But here the Torah is placing so much emphasis on physical perfection, physical exactness, physical beauty. And especially right here in the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna, the garments of the Kohanim, of the priests. And we find that this goes further. Not only where the Torah writes explicitly, but we see the Gemara in Bava Basra brings that there was an individual by the name of Hudas. Hudas, in English, he was known as Herod. He was not a righteous person by no means. And he actually was an avid slave. He was a Roman. And he took control. He took control and made himself king. He lived in the days after the Hashmonaim, at the end of the days of the Hashmonaim. So this was after the Greek era, at the time that the Romans were gaining strength. And he decided that he wanted to, this was during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, he wanted to be masakin the Bayis Sheni. The second Beis HaMikdash needed some fixing up, it needed some renovation. And he decided he wanted to rebuild it. And he spoke to the Chachomim, to the sages, and they advised him on how to do it. He was very wealthy. He put in an enormous amount of money, and he built up the second Beis HaMikdash to be extravagantly beautiful. And the Gemara brings in Bava Basra Daf Dalet Amri Mish Leira Binyan Hudas Leira Binyan Ami Yomath. Whoever did not see this great edifice that Hudas built from the Beis HaMikdash, he has never seen a beautiful edifice in his life. In other words, the sages testified that nothing could parallel its beauty. Again, now they were living in the times after the Greek Empire, as the Romans were coming in. And we know the Greek and Roman edifices were some of the most beautiful in history. And still they said, nothing compared to this. Now the Gemara goes into it further.
Mora says, what for example was so beautiful about it? Mora says, Omar Abba, what did he build it with? B'may banye, b'arnei shaisho, u'marmoro. He built it with green marble and white marble. Ikodamne b'arnei kuchla, shaisho, u'marmoro. Others say that he built it with a light blue marble, a green marble stones, and white marble stones. Apik sofa ve ail sofa ki heket in the kabel sido. In order that it should stay together and be cemented well, so the stones were not perfectly smooth where they met each other. But one was a little higher and one was a little lower. And Hudis wasn't satisfied with this. And sofa le mishmayo bedavo. And he wanted to overlay those parts with gold. Omlurei Rabbonan Shafke. The Rabbonan said, no, this is better. The Hochi Shapet Fei, the Mikse Ki Idyusa the Yoma. He says, the Chachomim told him, leave it the way it is, because this is nicer. Because the way it is now, it resembles Idyusa the Yoma Gale Ayam. It resembles the waves of the sea. Shehim Noim Venodim. The waves of the sea are always moving. They're moving up and they're moving down. And va'ayin mishtasheya b'riyoson, and the eye is taken. The eye is hypnotized and taken with the sight. You know, when you watch the sea, you keep gazing at it because the sea is always moving back and forth, up and down. And this was the effect that this binyan, that this building gave. So therefore, the Chachomim said, "Leave it. This is more beautiful." So here we see that they were interested that it should be as beautiful as possible. And we also find in the Rambam brings in Perek Besa Bechira, Perek Aleph Halocha Yud and Yud Aleph, Mitzvah min amufka lechazei kesabinyan ulehagbiya kfi keach hatzibur. That the best way to fulfill this mitzvah of the building of the Beis HaMikdash is to make the building as beautiful and as great as possible. As it states, Ulareimeim es Beis HaLakeinu, that you shall lift up, we will lift up Beis HaLakeinu, the house of our God. Umefarin esoi, and we make it beautiful. Umeyafin kifi keichon, in accordance to the wealth of the tzibur, of the community. Im yecholin latur chaysoi bezov, if it's possible to cover the whole building with gold, ulahagdil maisov hareze mitzvah, then this is a mitzvah. So we see even more than the actual Teira Shebichtav, what the Torah here instructs us on. The truth of the matter is, though, if we look a little further, we do not find this only in regards to the Beis HaMikdash, to the sanctuary. We find this in general in regards to mitzvahs, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, which we've often quoted on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, states, what does it mean, Zekeli van Vehu? Zekeli van Vehu is a posuk in the Shiras Hayom, when Klal Yisrael were freed from Egypt, and they came to the sea, and the sea split, and they went through the dry land, and then the sea came and drowned all of the Egyptians. So, Oz Yosher Meisha, Uvene Yisrael Asishirazos. So then Moshe and Klal Yisrael sang the great song. And in the song they said, Ze Keli V'Anvehu, that this is my God, the Anvehu. What does it mean, the Anvehu? The Gemara brings various commentaries. One interpretation, the Anvehu, from Loshen Noi, I shall beautify him. So the Gemara says, how is it possible to beautify Hashem? He's Noel of one of the mitzvahs. you shall make his mitzvahs beautiful. It's not enough to perform his mitzvahs. Even though you perform them in accordance to the exact instructions. But you should, in addition to this, you shall make them beautiful. How do you make them beautiful? Asi lefonav sukkah noya. When it comes to making a sukkah, all right, the instructions are explicit in the Masechta Sukkah. But in addition to that, you should decorate the sukkah. And you should use good materials and make it beautiful. Lulav noah, the same thing when it comes to a lulav. Shefer noah, a shefer, tzitzis noah, when it comes to tzitzis and a talis, that it should be besides fulfilling the qualifications of tzitzis and a talis, it should be beautiful. Sefer Torah noah, it should be a beautiful Sefer Torah, because of Beilishmai, Bijay noah, Bekulmis noah, Bevlavler umen, and it should be written in his name, in Hashem's name. And it should be written with a good pen and a good ink and a good hand. The mantle, the garment that we put on the Sefer Torah, should be a beautiful garment. This is how we beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states, Zeh keli v'anvehu, this is my God and I will beautify him. How do you beautify Hashem? Can't beautify Hashem. We beautify his mitzvahs. See, here we see that actually this is relevant to all mitzvahs. In the Rambam, at the end of Isurim Mizbeach, the Rambam goes a little further. And he says as follows. He lists, when it comes to the sacrifices, or it comes to the olives, or olive oil and so forth that was used in the Beis HaMikdosh, he lists which are the best, and which are the next to the best, and so forth and so on. He says they're all kosher. So he says if they're all kosher, so what's the difference to know which is the best quality, and which is second quality, which is third grade? He says it's important to know. In order that a person should know the various grades, because a person who wants to be mezake as himself. Mezake himself means a person that wants to purify himself. He wants to uplift himself. He wants to bring himself merit. Yokov yitzrei hara. So therefore he shall overcome any personal selfishness that he might have. And he should stick his hand in his pocket and spend money. And when it comes to bringing something to the Beis HaMikdash, a sacrifice, an animal or a meal offering or wine or whatever it might have been, he should bring not just anything but the very best. He should always try to bring the best. That's why it's important for us to know what is the best, what is grade A, what is grade B, what is grade C, and so forth. By Cain and Hevel, it states that Hevel, when he brought to Hashem an offering, a gift from his sheep, he didn't bring from any of the sheep, he brought from the very, very best. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy with that. So now the Rambam says, "V'uhadim b'chol dover shul Hashem keil hatev." This applies not only to the sacrifices, but to everything. Everything in what we do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should always do it from the best and with the best. Shemin hanoer v'hatev, and from the most beautiful. In bona beis tefila, if you build the shul, yanoer mibeis yeshivosoi. It should be nicer than your own house. Where does the custom come that when you build shuls, especially in the past, and you look into the history books of European jewelry or Spanish jewelry or Italian jewelry, right, or you even you have in Portugal they were famous, famous, beautiful shuls, magnificent shuls. Where did that custom come from? If you build a house for Hashem, you must make it into a more beautiful house than your own house. It's not right that people should be living in beautiful homes and the shul is not as beautiful. Hechel Rov, now the Rambam brings it even further. Not only when we're dealing with a chepsi, the mitzvah, a certain article of mitzvah, but even in an act for a mitzvah. Hechel Rov, Yachel min ha-teva ha-mosuk shebishulchonai. When it comes to feeding the poor, you should feed him with something which is better than that's on your own table. See? Not that on your own table is the best of meat and the best of wine. And when it comes to giving a poor, you give him not such a good wine, not such a good whiskey, see? Not such good meat. No. Echel rov yachel min ha-teva ha-mosik shebishulchonai. You should feed him from the best of your own table. You give clothing to a person that needs it. Well, what is usually the custom? That we give clothing to a person that needs it. Right, you give him something second hand, something you don't need. You give him something which is worse than you. No. The real mitzvah is, that's also mitzvah. No matter what you give, that's mitzvah. But the mitzvah min amuvcha, the real mitzvah is to give him min ha-yofe shebiksusay, from the most beautiful of your own clothing. Higdish dove yakdish min ha-yofe shebenechosof. You give something to the Beis HaMikdosh, it should be from the best. That's what it states. Chinoime kol chelev lashem. Chelev means the fat. The fat means the best. The best you should save for Hashem or for His mitzvahs. So here we see further that not only did it have to do with the Beis HaMikdash, it had to do with all mitzvahs to Hashem. Not only an article of mitzvah that you were using yourself, like a lulav, or you're buying for yourself a silver esrog box or a gold esrog box, but even in something that you were giving to someone else, that it should be from the best. And we find this even further. We find this is this appreciation, this eye for beauty, a physical perfection, we find it relevant to people also. Even if it doesn't have to do with directly with the Beis HaMikdash or mitzvahs. The Gemara brings us in Masechta Brachos. Daf Hei Omed Beis. Reb Lezer Cholash. Reb Lezer became sick. All the Gabi Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan went to visit him. Rabbi Yechanan was the great Rebbe of the Talmud Yishalmi. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim at the time when the Talmud was being written. So Rabbi Yechanan went to visit him. Chozer dehava kogoni bebeis eifel. He saw that he was sleeping in a house that was dark. There were no lights in the house. Gayile darye venof on the hura. So what did Rabbi Yechanan do? Rabbi Yechanan rolled up his sleeve and he made the house light. What does that mean? Rashi tells us. Shohaye besorom mafik. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yechanan was a person of magnificent beauty. Like this, it states his beauty was from the ancient beauty of Yerushalayim, and that went way back almost to Yaakov Avinu. And his complexion and the color of his skin shined. See? So he rolled up his sleeve, and that gave light to the whole house. Chazed avikor bochi Reb Lezer. Then he saw that Reb Lezer, the sick one, was weeping. He said, why are you weeping? If it's because you didn't study enough Torah, He says that's no reason to weep, because Echad Amarbe v'Echad Amamid b'Vad Shicham Lib L'Shamayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays everyone in accordance to what he's capable of doing. You've done all that you're capable of doing, so don't worry. If it's because you're a poor man and you're leaving this world impoverished, he says, Lav kol adam zeichah l'shtei shulchanos. Not everyone is zeichah to two tables. You are zeichah to the table of Torah. Others are zeichah to the table of physical wealth. But both, not everyone. If it's because you didn't have children, so he said, Rabbi Yechon himself had a tragedy where he lost some of his children. So he said, no, I'm not crying because of any of these things. He says, why am I weeping? Lahai shufra de boli ba afra kobachino. He says, when I see your beauty, that's why I'm weeping. Because eventually, what will be with this beauty? Eventually, it'll go back into the ground, into the earth. And on such beauty, that was so crystal clear, and had so much light in it, and should end up in the earth. The earth, there is no light. The earth is darkness. He says, this is why I'm weeping. So Rabbi Yechon said, Omalei aldo vade ko bechiso uboha travayo. He says, that is something to weep about. And they both wept. That such beauty should be in this world, and it'll come to an end. See, here we're speaking about physical beauty in a person. We find that the Torah consistently, it praises the Imos, it praises the matriarchs. It states on almost every one of them, on Sora, on Rivka, on Rochel, Vahanara Tovis Mar Ermi Od. And the young girl, she was exceedingly beautiful when it starts to praise them. On Sora, at the end of Pashas Nayach, it states her name was Sorai, and Yisko. Also her name was Yisko. Rashi brings from the Gemara, what does Yisko mean? Sha'akol seichin v'yofyo. One of the meanings. Yisko comes from the word gaze. She was called Yisko because everyone would gaze at her because of her beauty. The Gemara tells us Sora was so beautiful that she was counted amongst the most beautiful women of all of creation, all of time. We see wherever Avram went, he had a problem, because kings, see, not people just walking on the street, but kings consistently wanted to abduct her. They wanted to take her and make her into a queen. But we see further, the Torah accepted this name. See? It says Avi Yisko. This was the father of Yisko, but her real name was Sorai. She was known as Yisko. But why did the Torah accept such a name? Everybody looks at her. Therefore, the Torah should accept this name on Sora, and should write it in the Torah. But nevertheless, you see that her beauty was so outstanding and remarkable that the Torah described this with her name in the Torah. The Gemara brings another example. In Aveda Zora, Daf Chof Amud Aleph. Ma'aseh Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was a Tano. He was from the great rabbis of the Mishnah. Sheyal Gabi Maila Bahar Abayis. He was standing on an elevated place in Har Abayis, on the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash. And he happened to see, wasn't looking, but he happened to see a veres kechovim achas noya b'yeser. He saw a woman, and she was beautiful. Not she was beautiful. She was extraordinarily beautiful. No Abiyasa. And she was an Ayvedis Kechofim. She was a Gaya. She was an idolatress. But he was stunned by her beauty. So what did he do? Omar, he made a brocha. He said, Morabu Masecho Hashem. He said, Morabu Masecho Hashem, how great is your works, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara brings Vav Rebbe Kiva, brings a similar case by Rebbe Kiva. When he saw, this was Tunis Rufus, Harosha, Ashes Tunis Rufus, Harosha, the wife of Tunis Rufus, that was one of the rulers of Rome. Also, he exclaimed, say, over her beauty. Here we see the great Tanoim. They had an appreciation for beauty. The Tosfos brings, actually the Gemara brings, right here that this is not only, these people were very, very great people. We're talking about Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, or we're talking about Reb Akiva. But the Gemara then brings, it says, actually it says, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's an obligation on every person. It says, Hareya Briyeis Teves. When someone sees a person who's extraordinarily handsome or beautiful, he's supposed to say Baruch Shekocha Be'elamai. He's supposed to make a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made such creations in the world. A great deal of what I'm saying over this evening is from a shir from my Rebbe. Ramot HaGifta that tells the Rosh Hashiva. And in it he says, you see, the Reb Shimon Gamliel, what did he say? Morabu Masecho Hashem. How great is the works of Hashem. What was he describing with that? The beauty of this woman. Right? So you see, the physical beauty goes, is inclusive in the great works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Tosfos brings from the Yishalmi. The Yishalmi goes even further. It says we're not only referring to a beautiful woman or a beautiful man that one is obligated to make a brocha, but it says afilu gomal noya, even a beautiful animal, lahavdil. Person sees a beautiful camel, sus noya, a beautiful horse, chamor noya, a beautiful donkey, Aime Baruch Shekochalei Be'elomai. It's obligated to make a brocha to Hashem. This means that we don't have camels today where we live. We don't have donkeys. Horses we have from time to time. You see a beautiful horse. Many times you have people who are experts in horses. They'll look at a horse and they'll say, this horse is a beauty. This horse is perfect. Obligated to make a brocha to Hashem. Baruch Shekochalei Be'elomai. On a horse. The Rambam brings a halacha. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Yud of Hilchos Brachos, Aloha Yud Gimel, Hareya Briyas Naos Umisukonis Biyeser. A person who sees a Briya, something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, which is beautiful and extraordinarily perfect. Or Ilones Tevis, or even trees which are beautiful. Mevorek Shekochai Leiba Alome. We're obligated to make a brocha to Hashem. Olim, when you go out into the gardens and into the fields in Nishan, this is in the springtime, and you see trees that are blossoming, then you're obligated to make a brocha to Hashem. that he has created such a world which lacks nothing. And that Borobe Brias Tevis, Vilonis Tevis, Vinos, Kide Lehonis Bohen Bene Odom, he has created such beautiful people or trees or whatever it might be, in order to bring all of this joy to people. And the same thing it refers to when you see mountains or when you see the great oceans and so on and so on. So what do we see from all of this? We see that evidently beauty was not something that was given to the Greeks. Or physical perfection, physical beauty is not something that was given to Esau, but also belongs to Yaakov, and also belongs to the spiritual world, to the perfection of the world. And the truth of the matter is that we have to say like that. Why? Because when we give some thought to perfection and to exactness and to beauty, who is the greatest builder in the world? Who is the greatest master of the world? Who's the greatest engineer, the greatest architect, the greatest musician, the greatest artist when it comes to beauty? By far and far, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. If you would take all of the great masters, of all of the great arts, of all of the great generations, and put them all together, and if you would say that they equal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki klipas hashum, they come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the dimension of a peel of a garlic, that would be a guzma, that would be a great exaggeration. The fact is, all of your great artists, what did they try to do? They tried to emulate the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on that we say, Ma rabu ma'asecho Hashem, Magodlu Masecho Hashem, how great are the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who can create an ocean? Who can create a mountain? Who can create a tree? The great artists, they try to duplicate a sunset or a sunrise. And in engineering, the greatest engineering feats that we have can come a little, very little, to the smallest engineering feats which are in the world. States the Chazal tell us that in kol chachmei olam, if all the wise people of the world will come together, afilu yitesh echot, they will not be able to reproduce one fly. One fly. Yet alone when it comes to the human being, which is the masterwork. And the human being, I read the other day, that there's a network of 60,000 miles in the human body of arteries and veins and blood vessels that the blood is being pumped through on a daily basis. 60,000 miles in every individual. 60,000 miles is around the world. That's in every individual, that the heart has to pump blood through on a regular basis. And not long ago, I read where scientists write that the brain of the human being is so complex, and we know so much about it, but yet so little about it, that it states that all of the technology and all of the computers that went into the spaceships that we sent to the moon and outer space, all of it comes together, does not come to the brain which is found in one human being, and that is a few inches. The brain in the human being is a few inches. And what we packed into spaceships was hundreds and hundreds of thousands, see, if not thousands of tons, see, of steel. So we see when it comes to perfection and exactness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master. And we are obligated, it states, every day melei, v'alachta b'drocha, we are obligated to emulate him. This is a mitzvah in the Torah. When we see his ways, then we must follow suit. So we have to say that this is something that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, not to Esav's world, or not to the Greek Empire's world. Because if he created the world from the smallest atom or molecule to the brain of the human being, or the entire world, if he created it with such minute exactness and perfection and beauty, we see this is his way. If these are his ways, we're obligated to walk in these ways and to emulate these ways. So we cannot say that this is something that was the domain of the Greeks or the domains of Aesop. And we have to then have an appreciation and develop an eye and a recognition for this. And this is why when we see it, we have to say, Ma godlu ma'asecho Hashem. This is an act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the mitzvah to beautify things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this the sages learned from the posuk Zekeli Vanvehu. Klal Yisrael said this when they crossed the sea, and they said, this is my God and I will beautify him. It's from there that they exclaimed, we will beautify our acts to him, we will beautify our mitzvahs. Now, my Rebbe asked a good question. Why there? This halacha, that you must beautify Chafetz the mitzvah, an article of mitzvah, why is it learned out there, and why is it there that Klal Yisrael exclaimed this? This was in the middle of the crossing of the sea, right after they crossed the sea, in the middle of the shir of the song. Not only that, but where did they say it? By Zekeli Vanvehu. This is my God. Here the sages tell us, what does it mean, Zekeli Vanvehu? Marin be'etzpa. They pointed with a finger. And they said, this is my God. They came to such recognition of the great miracles that they could point with their finger and say, this is my God. Marin be'etzpa. The plain maidservant came to greater heights in prophecy and in vision than Yecheskel, the greatest of the prophets. Yecheskel is the one who prophesied the Maaseh Merkava. He saw the chariot of Hashem. So now, Rabbi asked, very good. Why here then? Right here they said, this is my God, and we will beautify him. We will beautify his mitzvahs. What does one thing have to do with the other? So he answered with what we're saying. He says, why do we beautify things? We beautify things because that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shade is the source. What is beauty? Beauty is something which is perfect. If you make something which is physically perfect, that's what beauty is. The source of perfection is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was when they came to that level and they could almost see HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where they said, Zeh, they pointed with a finger and they said, this is my God. And they came to a level of the Vekus, of bonding themselves, of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they had never come to before. So there was the exclamation that we will beautify everything we do for him like he himself. It is bound up with he himself. If he is the creator of the world and of all life, and he is the master of beauty, of perfection, of engineering, when a person comes close to him, then he wants to be like him. Hevi day melei, the Gemara learns from that same pasuk, anvehu hevi day melei, you want to emulate him. How can you emulate him? By making things beautiful like he does. To make him beautiful, how can we make him beautiful? We will make our mitzvahs beautiful. See? That's why right there is a keli v'anvehu that the Chazal said, make yourself like him and beautify his mitzvahs. Actually, he answered another question with that, because the Gemara brings in Shabbos, in the middle of this whole discussion, that you should make a beautiful sukkah and beautiful tzitzis. It says beautiful sefer Torah, and you should wrap it in a beautiful garment, beautiful mantle. Then it says, Ukosev Beilishmei, and you shall write it in his name. What does that have to do with beautifying it? Write it in his name. So he said, that's also from the same Sheirish, from the same source. When you do the mitzvah, you must do the mitzvah for him. That comes from a closeness to him. And that same closeness is what requires a beautification of it. From here we see that someone who can appreciate this is a sign he's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who has no appreciation for this, then this is a sign that he's far from Hashem. Okay? This is what he wrote. If someone has no appreciation for this, then he's very far from the master of the world. For we see everything that he did was bediktuk yofa, was perfect. Perfect down to the last molecule, or down to the last microsecond. If someone has no appreciation for this, alright, he has no appreciation. But this, what is it, a simon? What is it, a sign? That he's very far from this source. Someone who does, that shows dveikus, that shows he's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can appreciate it. Now, this that we asked, but this was the world of the Greeks, or the world of Aesop, physical beauty, pursuit of physical perfection, materialism. Yaakov's world was a world which was a spiritual world. This is not so. This is a toast. This is an error. It states that Esav's world was this world. This world isolated from a higher world. That was Esav's world. Yaakov's world was the chibur, was the joining of both worlds. To the contrary, this world alone, when it separates itself from its source, is not a beautiful world. Chazal tell us this world is Alma de Shikra. This is a world of deceit. It's cheshuch, it's dark. Fact is, we see, the sages tell us a principle, the deeper you go down into the earth, the darker things become, the heavier things become. The higher you go, the lighter things become, the greater the ore, the shine, and the more perfection it is. Separate this world from the higher worlds, and this is a world of darkness. This is a world of imperfection, not a world of perfection. This is a world of ugliness, not a world of beauty. And this is what we saw by Aesop, and this is what we saw by the Greek Empire. Sure, they made magnificent buildings. The Romans made magnificent buildings. Sure, they had beautiful women and beautiful men. But what did they do with it? they made wars in order to steal wealth or in order to build weapons of destruction or for all types of immoral uses, and it became a world like we see today. Do we see beauty today? That was the world of Esav. A pursuit of physical perfection purely for materialistic reasons, that's materialism that we see today. Or for merely for gratification of the individual, that's what we see today. Yaakov's world was the joining of two worlds, of taking this world and joining it with the upper world, and bringing the perfection in both worlds, bringing the spiritual light from the Olam HaElyon, from the higher world, into the Olam HaTachton. Then it had to be perfect, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He created both worlds together. Then you see beauty. See? Then you see Ma Godlu Ma Secho Hashem, how great the acts of Hashem are. So it depends where the motive is coming from. If the motive is coming because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, and therefore everything that has to do with him must also be perfect, it's coming lamala min lamato, it's coming from the higher worlds into this world. If the motive is coming for a pursuit of materialistic gratification or materialistic wealth, now then it's an empty world. The fact is, that's Gehenim. States, what was Gehenim? Gehenim is a world of darkness. What does it mean, a world of darkness? See? Detached, see, from all of the upper worlds. Now, if this isn't the case, in when it comes to mitzvahs or all of our pursuits, then surely this is the case in Torah. Torah is Chem de Genusa. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest treasure. If when it came to create an ocean or a mountain, he did it with such beauty and perfection, then Chem de Genusa, his great Torah, you can imagine then what kind of perfection is found in his Torah, what kind of beauty. And if there is a mitzvah that we must beautify everything that we bring to Hashem, then even more so, in Torah we must beautify it. Lahagdil teir v'yadin. That's what it states. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Lahagdil teir v'yadin. He wants Jews should make the Torah great and beautiful. That's why that when we study Torah, it must be done with a beauty. It must be done with a clarity. It must be done with the harib, with a sweetness. It must be done with a perfection. It must be done with a good understanding, a spora zako, a good understanding and penetration. It must be done with a perfect order. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should be lahagdil teir v'yadir, to make his Torah even more beautiful. This was many times brought the purpose of the Pilpul HaTorah, right, to bring that beauty into Torah. This is what the Mishnah Novice means. We have a Mishnah Novice in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. Actually, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. Reb Shimon Eimer, Reb Shimon says, "I'm halach b'derech." Someone who's walking in the way, v'sheina, And while he's walking, he's learning Torah, saying over the Mishnah, saying over the Gemara. Umafzik mishnosei, and he interrupts his learning. The Amen, he says, Manoya ilon zeh, Manoya niyar zeh. And he says, he sees a beautiful tree. And he looks, he stops learning, and he says, look at that beautiful tree. Isn't it beautiful? Or Manoya niyar zeh, he says, sees a beautiful farmland, beautiful cultivated farmland. And he says, look, isn't that beautiful? Malalava kosev kilis chai benafshei. This person is as if he's guilty with his life. So they ask the question, what did he do wrong? He's admiring the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a mitzvah. He obligated in a brocha. Harei ilon yofer. So what did he do wrong? So the Maral explains very well. He says he didn't do anything wrong. It's just he's in the... It's the timing is wrong. It's a mitzvah to say Manoe ilon zeh. Manoe nir zeh. Like we said. But he says, what would happen if a great king, he says he has a servant, and this servant is beautiful, handsome, and he admires him. Very good. That's even honor to the king. But what happens if he would be in the middle of a conversation with the king would be talking to him, and the servant comes by, and he tells the king, just a minute, and he walks away from the king, to talk to the servant. This man in the days of kings would be guilty with his life. Why? You interrupt a discussion with me to speak to my servant. The Chazal tell us that when someone is learning Torah, when you're learning Torah, you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. When you speak, learning Torah, you're speaking with the Melech, you're speaking with the King. Then you should be saying, Manoya, Teiroscho, how beautiful is your Torah. You're standing in a world which is has totally preceded the physical world. From the blueprint of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in this world. Everything in this world is the dimension of a servant compared to a king. So therefore, someone who is studying, mafsik mi mishnosoi, and he interrupts his Torah studying, in order to say Manoya ilon zeh, how beautiful is this tree, Manoya nir zeh, how beautiful is this farmland, Hareze kilo mischai benafshe, it's as if he's guilty with his life, because he interrupts and he walks away. What does that show when a person walks away from the king? It shows he's not interested in the king's audience, he's not interested in the king's friendship, but he'd rather have the friendship of the servant. This is an affront. So there is a greater beauty. It's a mitzvah, great mitzvah, to say Manoeh, how beautiful is this tree. But not to walk away from his learning to do so. So what do we see from all of this? Now we can understand, especially, that when it came to the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary, when it came to the Big Day Kohuna, the garments of the Kahanim, and that was the house of Hashem, Vishokhanti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, make a house for me that I may dwell amongst you. There, besides the spiritual beauty and perfection and exactness, was a physical beauty and perfection and exactness. Because this was the bond of two worlds. Actually, the Beis Hamikdash was the point which where Mechaber combined the two worlds together, the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton, the spiritual world and the physical world. And therefore it had to be perfect all of the way through. Now from this we learn that this is how we must serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're capable of it. there are those who are merachik. They reject anything that has to do with physical beauty, physical perfection. And they say, no, we are only interested in something of a spiritual domain. No, that's not the way. That's not this world. The greatness of Yaakov Avinu was he became a master of joining both worlds together, like we see from all of these sources. There are those who go after physical perfection and beauty, but many times it's not because of the motive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of their own motives. Unfortunately, many times we'll see it that they'll place this under a cover of this is serving Hashem. And that can become materialism. You can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or so-called serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it becomes in a very materialistic way, where it is full of wealth and gold and silver, like the Mishkan was. But the motive was different. The motive was for the person's own selfishness or own enjoyment, or because he is so overcome and overtaken with the materialistic world. That's not the way either. But the way was, or the way is, that we're obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the light and in the vein of perfection, exactness, kovod, honor, tiferes, beauty. Why? Because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents honor, and he represents beauty, and he represents physical, he represents perfection. Even anything that he made, even physical, was perfect. And we're obligated to emulate him, and we're obligated to come close to him. Therefore, in all of our acts must also emanate, see, kovod and tiferes, hod v'hodor. Beautiful beauty and honor. This is what we can learn, which comes through very strongly in the works of the Mishkan and the Big Day Kohuna.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.